Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text Number 10. 10, 38, 10. Mention is going to be made again, as with the Text Number 9, about the eagerness or greed. Sanatana Goswami is going to use that phrase in his commentary. So I thought it'd be nice to repeat something from yesterday, from Nectar Devotion, because it's practical application time. This, you know, obviously greed is a bad quality. Lust and greed. But spiritually it's good. Spiritually, meaning when there's intense eagerness for Krishna, for achieving Krishna, achieving Krishna's association, Krishna's darshan, etc. That's good. More than good, I'm going to read from Nectar Devotion. It's more than good. It's essential. It's the price to pay. What's the price? How much? Greed. But in a spiritual sense, you know, whatever there is here, it has its spiritual counterpart. And the spiritual counterpart is something that Akura has and that every one of us should be on the path to intensify. This is repeating something that we've been saying, that's okay. Repetition is good. You know, the yes to the holy name, yearning, enthusiasm, spontaneous. Why yes? So the yearning is when it's amplified or intensified, it's lalyam, not just learning, yearning, it's intensified, matured stage of yearning. So Nectar Devotion, Chapter 9, lalasa mayi means desiring some perfectional stage or very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. This lalasamayi stage of submission comes in the stage of perfect liberation. So in the mature stage, that's what it's called. If one develops lalyam or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this, lalyam lalasamayi, or desire and great eagerness. So next time you want to ask the question, how do I go beyond mechanical chanting? Just read this section from Nectar Devotion, Chapter 9. There's a price to go beyond mechanical, and that's yearning, ramp it up, great eagerness, ramp it up, greed, to go beyond. And that beyond is not for you, it's for service to Krishna, for pleasure of Krishna. That's the key, the bhakti key. So now text 10, we'll hear the word greed in commentary. Akrura says, or not says, he's thinking. You can't just adjust the volume, huh? It's maximum already. Okay. Akrura's thinking, and Shukadeva Goswami is reading the mind, the thoughts of Akrura. I am going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And that's in the Sanskrit. Api. Adya, today. Vishnu, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then the next word is, we're going to hear this explained many ways. Manu jatvam. Manu jatvam. The form of a human being. So, I'm going to see the Supreme, so he's, Akrura is not a Brijvasi. He's a Mathuravasi. So, Mathuravasis don't have the same mood of love for Krishna that the Brijvasis have. They have this Aishvarya feature very, very clear. You know, Akrura is very, very clear. And so many others are also very, very clear. So he's, that's him. And he's going to get at Krishna's association. I'm going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty. We're going to hear this word beauty a few times. Who, by his own sweet will, has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Now, he's not saying, one may think that he's saying, Vishnu expands himself and becomes Krishna. He assumes a human-like form. There are those who read like that or understand like that. And that's not taken in the big context of Srimad Bhagavatam. Taken in the big context of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's not a proper interpretation. Although there are those that interpret like that. So what's the rule? There's a Sanskrit rule that Jiva Goswami explains. It's the Padi Bhashya Sutra towards the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 28, is this Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And that is the essential verse that governs all other verses. All other verses need to be understood in relation to that verse. If you've reached an understanding that's not consistent with that verse, you've got the wrong understanding. You have to go back and recalibrate that understanding. So he's Vishnu assuming a human-like form doesn't match the Paribhasya Sutra of Bhagavatam. So let's hear. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, one may object, but even demons get Krishna's darshan, so why do you praise your own good fortune in this matter? then this verse is responding to that question. Now he has appeared by his sweet will within our own dynasty, which is the dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, right? But he speaks, this is Vishwanath, in the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu, which he's derived from the Manujatvam, Manujatvam, as Vishnu, with extraordinary beauty, which I realize in my heart. He hasn't seen him yet, but he knows about his beauty even before he sees him, because he's seeing him in his heart. And then, but that seeing him in his heart is not the same. It's not sufficient. It's nice, more than nice, but it's not sufficient. It's not the same as seeing that he's going to see him and touch him and so forth. Which I realize in my heart. The demons may see him, but they do not realize the beauty or perceive his sweetness. With my eyes, will my eyes not become successful today? Certainly they will. So he, there's this, this is going back to the prior contemplations of Akura, one of the 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, then maturing into Sanchari Bhavas, is the this feature of this internal debate that he goes through. I'm not qualified, but he's kind, and even unqualified people can see him because he's kind, and so surely I will see him. Anyway, this is one of those. It's an ecstasy. We shouldn't get confused. What's going on with a pure devotee? He doesn't know. It's an ecstasy. We should not be confused. He is displaying ecstasies, which is ecstatic. So, is there some doubt? Well, there's some doubt, but no, there's no doubt. Jiva Goswami writes, here we go. Again, out of intense greed. He's got the ticket. He has a desire that's now amplified like anything, to see all the limbs of Krishna. Today I will see Upalambanam. I will see him. He eternally possesses a human body. There we go. Jiva Goswami has a clear understanding. It's not the other idea. He eternally possesses a normal human body for displaying his sweet pastimes. Although he is full of all powers and all-pervading. Vishnoho. So sometimes we read Krishna appeared in a medium form, meaning that the acharyas explain Mahavishnu is not a medium form. And Paramatma is not a medium form. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is not a medium form. But the medium form is the human form. Or, he has made his appearance in a human dynasty, Manujatvam, because Manu can mean Vaivasvata Manu, or Manu can mean human. Manu. Manujatvam. But this does not destroy his independence. He comes by his own desire. Though he actually comes by the desire of the devotee, the two are actually one. That was tricky. You got that? Yeah. He comes by his own desire and, not but, the devotee's desire, and so he comes. It's his loving nature. Come! Krishna comes. But it's his own desire. It's not he's not on a leash and they yank the leash and he comes. It's his desire. He's fully independent. He doesn't lose his independence by submitting to the desires of his devotees. He does so with his full, absolute, voluntary capacity intact. It's his loving nature. Paragraph. He is not only the shelter of sweet pastimes, but the shelter of various types of beauty. Lavanya Dhamnaha. If I see Krishna today, will my eyes not be most successful? No, they'll be extremely successful. There's nothing beyond this. And Jiva Goswami continues, the cowherd girls, the gopis, said, Canto 10, Chapter 21, this isn't the Rasalila section, this is before. Oh, friends, we do not know any other success for those with eyes than the face of the younger one who plays the flute. The face experienced as he casts a side glance of love. The face tasted by people with eyes. As the two sons of Nanda take the cows from forest to forest along with their friends. Back to Akura. I will see him easily, directly, not with some obstruction like shadow. In his actual form, coming close to him, upalambhanam, will I not see him easily? Just by opening my eyes, I will see him. Not by much practice of yoga, etc. Although he's already seeing him within his heart. By desiring him, I will certainly be able to see him. It is not that I will not see him. I will. This is because previously he expressed certainty. So his intelligence is steadying his emotions. He's feeling waves of bhavas, and his intelligence is guiding them to a safe place. Will I not see him easily? Yes, just by opening my eyes. And here's Sanatana Goswami again speaking about greed. So it's a similar message. Again, as in the previous verse, out of intense greed, he has a desire to see all the limbs of Krishna. I will see Krishna, who spreads everywhere, Vishnuho, who accepts human activities in this world, Manujatvam, or who appears with human form, though he enters everywhere as Antaryami, Vishnuho. He does this in order to deliver the earth from its burden of sinful demons. This does not contradict his supreme independence. He does it by his own desire. Or he does it by the desire of his own. Nija, devotees such as Brahma, to give pleasure to his devotees. Because he is human, he is the abode of beauty. Out of humility, Akura thinks it impossible to see the Lord. Na, siat. Later he says, no, it will be possible. Without effort, anjasa, I will see him excellently. If I can see him, my eyes will be successful. If he comes close to me, there will be success in knowing the greatness of bhakti, drishaha. So we're going to go next to reference of the, those are just direct commentaries on this text 10. Now comes references in other sections of Acharya's writings that refer to the verse and explain it in different ways. So before I read what he writes, this is from Pritisandarbha. Everyone knows what Pritisandarbha is, right? So he's going to use some Rupa Goswami terms. So this is like a little lesson on rasa, rasa tattva from Rupa Goswami. Vibhava and stai bhava. And then there's other. So stai bhavas are five in number. Did you receive that little text that I sent out? Maybe it wasn't sent yet. Sanchari, who asks a question every class without fail, almost, raised a question because from her youth she was involved in classical dance. And the classical dance teacher taught from her teacher that in classical dance, it's resting upon Natya Shastra, scripture based on teaching about dance, Natya Shastra. And the author of Natya Shastra is Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni lived it's not really clear, so it's between this time and that time, but around the time of the appearance of Christ. So while Christ was doing what he did, Bharata Muni was writing books on Vedic understanding of dance. And the purpose of dance, the purpose of anything Vedic, is what? To stimulate emotion in relation to Krishna. To stimulate emotion in relation to Krishna so that one's attraction for Krishna grows. That's the Vedic purpose. So people can use it some other way. They can use it to stimulate that emotion that's not in relation to Krishna. That's the perversion of it or the misuse of it, but you know, it can be done. And it is done. But its intention is stimulate emotion in relation to Krishna. So Bharat Muni teaches, and the dance teacher of Sanchari repeated, there are nine rasas. And then Sanchari was asking, how come he says nine, and Rupa Goswami says 12. So looking at his nine, list of Bharat Muni's nine, seven are the secondary or indirect rasas, and only two are the primary. It's Shringara, which is, Madhurya rasa, and Shanta. So he leaves out the middle three, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya. So, knowing that Dhanadhara Swami wrote a book on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I asked him, how come over here it's nine and over there it's 12? And his explanation goes like this. Rupa Goswami was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to teach the science of bhakti. Rupa Goswami had this realization, you can say, that the essence of everything in Krishna Loka is bhakti rasa. And amongst those bhakti rasas, there are five that are eternally existing in Goloka. And the the seven secondary rasas are simply embellishments or reflections of the five. If there's, so he gave the example, suppose there's laughter, because that's a secondary rasa, hasya rasa. So with secondary rasa, it's appropriate, so it's no rasa basa, if between friends and lovers there's laughter. But the real essence is friendship or loving conjugal love. And it's just a flavor or an embellishment, or it's a reflection of, or an indirect representation of, so direct, indirect, or primary, secondary. So that's what the seven are. And then there's mixtures of the seven that make so many other ones. This and this, plus the primary rasa is what the primary rasa is of five. So those five are rasa because they're resting upon sthayibhava. Sthayibhava is the same five, but it becomes rasa when it mixes with other bhavas, or other bhavas mix with it. And then it becomes rasa. And then different moods of rasa characterized by this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, that's what nectar devotion is, or bhakti rasamrita sindhu. And it gets, you know, it gets really detailed, doesn't it? After chapter 19, you can head will spin, try to follow what it's saying. But it's a science of rasa, bhakti rasa. And amongst the rasas that mix with sthayibhava, one of them, an essential one, is vibhava. So what's vibhava? Because that's what Jiva Goswami is describing here. And he's going to make reference to text 10 to say text 10 illustrates vibhava. Okay, so here's a vibhava lesson. Just quoting directly, vibhava is used, translated by Prabhupada consistently as special ecstasy. So there's sthayibhava, and then there's special ecstasy. Sthayibhava is translated as steady ecstasy, and then there's special. So what's special ecstasy or vibhava? Vibhava, listen carefully, it has two parts, alambana and udipana. Now, udipana is really easy to understand. Udipana means stimulations of ecstatic love. For example, Krishna's smile, Krishna's flute, Krishna's peacock feather, etc. Those are stimulations or udipanas, stimulations of ecstatic love. So the what's being stimulated is the sthayibhava. So there's two parts, udipana, and then there's another part of vibhava, and that's alambana. Alambana has two parts. And that's the abode of love and the object of love. Ashraya and vishaya. The abode of love. So the devotee who has a relationship with Krishna, he is the abode of love. And the object is Krishna. And there's features of Krishna that stimulate that emotion of love, the ashraya part. The ashraya is the abode of love's sthayibhava becomes stimulated by the object of love, and then over there is aspects of Krishna that are part of this one thing, vibhava. If you didn't follow all that, go to Nectar Devotion and look it up and, you know, read it a few times and it'll start to become clear. But here's Jiva Goswami commenting on this verse, 10:38:10 in Priti Sandarbha. The mixture from vibhava to sthayibhava produces astonishing rasa, dasya bhakti rasa. That's a kura. He's in the dasya rasa, or he's saying here, dasya bhakti rasa. So his rasa awakens from the stai bhava, this regard that he has for Krishna, by this anticipation of seeing Krishna. It's stimulating his ecstatic love. By this special ecstasy, he's getting an opportunity to go see Krishna. That's the vibhava. So he's the abode of love. The form of Krishna is the object of love. And the anticipation and the details and the features of Krishna, his full features, which we're hearing, that's, you know, he's over the top. He is lost in ecstatic love, anticipating seeing Krishna. But so there's elements. That's what Rupa Goswami is teaching. What are those elements? How does it work? What's the spiritual technology of something very esoteric? In that rasa, that's Akura's rasa, of dasya rasa, the separation of the servants is of two types. The separation of the servants, this is speaking in general. There's a separation that the servant and the served feel. And there's two types of feelings of separation from the servant to the served. And he's going to say what those two types are. And he says, as was apparently already explained by the palyas. Palyas means those who are seeking protection. Pala. Palana Shakti. Ruling potency is Prithu. He's invested with Palana Shakti, a ruling potency. So when a ruler rules, he's invested with Pala Shakti. I was just hearing Prabhupada say, even a mundane person that has, you know, a leader of any kind, a government leader or leader of any kind, they can't lead without being invested by Palana Shakti. So Krishna is the leader of the leaders. So why not take shelter of the leader of the leaders? Because you have to take shelter of some leader. It's just a rule of life. So take shelter of Krishna. That was his argument. So there are persons that want protection, and they're of two types. Not having met at all, since this is the separation, not having met at all, that's Akura. He hasn't yet met Krishna. He's wanting that connection with Krishna. Or there's separation after meeting. Very logical. But so feelings of separation are of two types, just as feelings of protection are of two types. Here's an example of separation from having not met by a person with dasya bhakti. That's Akura. And then he's a certain type, it's a little more detail, amongst those who are servants in the mood of dasya bhakti, there's different subcategories of those. And Akura falls into one of those. It's parishada. So he's in a group. So here's our verse for this morning. I am going to see Krishna, who spreads his powers everywhere, who is the reservoir of all beauty, and who by his own sweet will has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. If I see him, will not my eyes be successful? No, certainly they will. And then further, the same verse commented by Jiva Goswami, about this same text, beginning with the vibhavas and culminating in stai bhava. So we know what those terms mean, right? This rasa is filled with wonder. That's another secondary rasa. He's analyzing what occurs experiencing, and it's the science of rasa, bhakti rasa amrita sindhu. So he's explaining this in Priti Sandarbha. It's not Rupa Goswami's writing, it's his writing, but using the same terminology and just expanding it. So it's filled with wonder. And that wonder is mixing with other, you know, other bhavas, there's other stai bhavas. That's what oceans do. There's waves and there's really big ones and some stay high and some kind of rise and then fall and then they mix with other ones and other ones. And that's what oceans do. And bhakti rasa is an ocean. And so there's different types of waves within that ocean of rasa. So he says, you know, analyzing and revealing part of this rasa that occurs experiencing is wonder, which is a secondary rasa. It's one of the seven. You okay? Okay, good. An example of a devotee at the time before his first meeting, Lord Krishna, is seen in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's our verse this morning. I'll read it again. I am going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who, by his own sweet will, has assumed the human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. And last, it's very short. This is Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The text 10:38:10. Another example of longing before meeting. Longing before meeting, which we know there's of two types: those that have never met, those that have met. But longing before meeting is utkantitam. Utkantitam. That's a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Jiva Goswami's short commentary says, manujatvam iyusho means he who appeared as a human being. That's just a detail. So he's expecting, he hasn't seen, but he's expecting to see a human-like form. And he does. Manujatvam iyushaho. And that's it for this text 10, and tomorrow is something else. And then Tuesday is something else. Wednesday, we'll continue with text 11. In one sense, you know, this pandemic thing is, it's really lots of opportunity for hearing, but there's, you know, for speakers, I've got, you have to press the right button. Because tomorrow is something else and Tuesday is something else, and I have to make sure I got the buttons correct. So our acharyas are helping us go more deeply into the Bhagavatam's message, churning the topics of bhakti rasa and the ecstasy of Akura anticipating meeting Krishna. In practically every class, I say the same thing, because it strikes me every time I go through this. This is very instructive for us, the anticipation of reaching the goal. In Akura's case, it's very clear. By the end of the day, he's going to reach the goal, perfection. One could say he's already perfect. He's already a pure devotee. He's experiencing Krishna within his heart. So, and we're not there. So, but the principle of anticipation applies at all levels, and it doesn't stop at the topmost level. The anticipation of the gopis to see Krishna when he comes back from the pasturing ground. That's chapter 35. The whole chapter is that. And all their feelings and this is and that's that they go through, feeling his separation, having already met, but anticipating meeting again. Or just seeing him. And everybody in Mother Jasoda and so forth. It's a very, for sadhakas and for those who are in the spontaneous stage of raga nuga bhakti and those that are in the stage of prema bhakti. He's at the stage of prema bhakti. It doesn't disappear. It's still the anticipation of meeting, the eagerness, lolyam, lalasamayi. That's the perfectional stage and we're not there yet. But keep going. And these topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are the stimulations for that ecstatic love. The sound vibration is that kind of sound vibration. So let's see if there's some discussion. Try again.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, one appreciation and one question. So we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam many places that one person is speaking and the other person is hearing, like, you know, Vidura is asking question, Maitreya is answering, like that, so many discussions. But this is very unique, that where the mind of Akrura has been given. He's not saying anything, but it has been clearly explained. It's very nice to hear that. So that is that. And then the question, Maharaj, is the intense greed, excessive eagerness that Akrura was having. I see that even the demons had that eagerness to meet Krishna and kill him. I mean, and Kamsa sent them. They were also so. Is my understanding right that the greatness of Akrura is he was having this excessive eagerness, but he was also feeling totally unqualified to see?
That's not the difference. The difference is whose pleasure.
Okay, got it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was curious to know what is Krishna's disposition when a devotee is so much anticipating.
A devotee is what?
Anticipating meeting Krishna.
What's Krishna feeling? That's your question?
Yeah.
What's Krishna feeling? Oh, he wants to come back to me?
So he's feeling happy.
He's appreciating. He's reciprocating with that feeling. That's what Krishna's feeling. You know, it can be a variety, but he's of things.
Mm. Okay. And just one more question, Maharaj. So these rasas we discussed, we are discussing in context with Krishna, right? They are all on transcendental platform. Why I'm asking this, because the secondary rasas, so there are different, like this fear, anger, different, which might be in modes. So, but right now, since we are discussing this in context of, with Krishna, so they are all on transcendental platform. I'm trying to understand, Maharaj.
And the answer is yes. And the very same principles can apply, do apply, on the material platform. Mundane theatrics use the same principles.
Right.
And spiritual theatrics use the same principles.
But there the feelings are real.
One is material, the other is spiritual. And what's the distinction? Who is at the center?
Right. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Maharaj, I have two questions.
Keep going. You can adjust.
Yeah. There were two words that you had spoken about.
Turn the speaker this way. Turn the whole speaker this way. Keep going.
Yeah. One was Lavanya, and there was one more after that.
You want a reminder what those words are?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the second word. And also the meaning of the second word, please.
See if I can quickly find it. Lavanya Damna. Lavanya Damnaha. I'm guessing, but I can look it up. My guess is it has the same root, same dhatu as dham, abode, the place of, the place of lavanya, or special beauty. Okay?
I have one more question.
Okay.
Maharaj, the verse that we were looking at, and the way it has been said is that on one hand, Akruraji is talking about the beauty of Krishna. And on the other hand, he is saying that he is here to relieve the earth from the load of the sinners. I am trying to understand how... it's a complicated... I'm not able to frame the question correctly, but... On one hand, we are looking at the beauty of Krishna, and on the other hand, we are just going to reducing the load of the earth from the sinners. So I'm just thinking that why is there so much emphasis to the fact that there is beauty? And so that's part of one question. And the second question is, so for people like me, who... look at beauty, I take photographs and pictures and all those things, and so I pay attention to those details on materialistic level. So how is one to differentiate between spiritual beauty and material beauty?
Well, what's the distinction between material and spiritual? Period.
Krishna is the center.
Well, and, yeah. Forgetfulness of Krishna and remembrance of Krishna. Here's a house. And it has a spiritual purpose and therefore can act and be perceived in a spiritual way or in a material way. Or here's a microphone. So there's beauty and it's spiritual and material.
Yeah, the second...
Remembrance of Krishna, forgetfulness of Krishna.
Yes.
The sunset. There's material and spiritual.
Yeah.
Regard for the same thing. Same thing.
So this answers the second part of the second question. Maharaj, may I know the answer for the first one also,
please?
I don't know.
I don't remember what the first one is. What's the distinction?
The first one was that what is the... Why is it that Akruraji...
Oh, okay. Why can't a beautiful person protect others?
Yeah, but what was the context?
Yeah, but. He's beautiful and he protects others. So he's appreciating both. Why separate them? Yeah. Oh. It's not in conflict.
Okay.
He's beautiful and he protects.
Thank you.
If I am framing the question correctly, we heard Krishna has assumed the human form. So, but what I have been reading that Krishna actually exists in this form, in the spiritual world.
Yes, he does.
So, how come we are using this word assumed?
Well, why not? I mean, one can wrongly understand it, or one can rightly understand it. The wrong understanding is he's something else and he just puts on a costume. And then the right one is he can manifest himself however he likes because within Krishna is everything and he's manifesting his human form. You can say he assumes a human form. Because within Krishna is everything. Especially Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, not just... So within him is everything.
And yesterday I was reading this story about Purushottam month on website of Vrindavan, ISKCON Temple Vrindavan. So in that it says that Krishna and Vishnu, they were talking.
Krishna is what?
Krishna and Vishnu, they were talking.
Krishna was talking to his flute.
Vishnu.
Oh, Vishnu. Krishna and Vishnu were talking.
Yeah, so
I can't elaborate. I don't know anything about Krishna talking to Vishnu.
Yeah, so I was just trying to clarify, but it was on
I don't know anything
ISKCON Vrindavan website. So.
Okay, you go read it again, because I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything. I can't explain it at all. Is that... Period.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have just an appreciation of the fact that Akrura is able to, you know, contemplate all this and he's eager to meet Krishna and expressing all these. And there should be many more millions of Mathura Vasis who are so eager to meet Krishna like Akrura, right? And they should all be situated in the Dasya Rasa.
No. Hmm. Why?
Because I was having the understanding that Vrajavasis are only in that mode, like they were privy to the Madhurya Rasa or
conjugal. All five rasas are in
everywhere. Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Somebody raised a question yesterday, or 2 days ago. Not only on earth, but in Goloka, is there Shanta? This is a devotee from another state was asking because he and some others were debating. But it's specific in Jiva Dharma, in Krishna Loka. Shanta is also there. But Shanta is in a special category. Shanta, when Shanta Bhaktas, Shanta Rasa or Rati, when they hear Krishna's flute or they're in contact with Krishna's foot or something, they go into ecstatic emotion. So we don't normally think of Shanta Bhaktas as ecstatic, but they're in contact, they're anticipating, and when there's contact, they become ecstatic in different ways.
I am remembering one of the Bhagavatam class you mentioned previously, like 2 months ago. The rivers are getting, you know, from the Shanta Bhava, they are becoming waves.
Yeah, that's chapter 35. Yeah. That's an example.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everything is there.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Up front.
Guru Maharaj, follow-up to my question about intense greed. If there is intense greed for service, I can see for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm not able to understand intense greed to see Krishna. I feel it is selfish. How can it be for Krishna's pleasure for me having an intense greed to see him?
It depends. It can be selfish or can be unselfish.
Both are good.
Well, one leads to the other. with Krishna at the center, it leads to becoming cleansed of the contamination. Akama sarva kamuva.
So can I think that seeing Krishna, Krishna also has happiness because of the intention? So thereby it is for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at the gopis. They want to see Krishna. Is that selfish?
No.
So is it possible to be eager to see Krishna or Mother Jashoda? She's like, you know, beside herself with anxiety because Krishna's late. She wants to see Krishna. Not selfish. It's love. It's love. Without a trace of selfishness, it's love. So it can be either way. Or somewhere in between. Mix.
In addition to that, having the feeling of totally unqualified, those are good.
Yeah. Doesn't put you stopped in your tracks because intelligence can stabilize that emotion or take that energy and direct it in a positive way. And if the intelligence is missing, then one gets flattened. Then it's not spiritual humility. It's the other kind. Next, you have online?
In Alambana, which has two parts, one is abode of love, object, second is object of love. What is abode of love? Could you please explain?
Yeah, it's the heart.
It's the heart of the devotee.
The heart of the devotee. That's the abode of love.
This is a question from Radha. In the Dwaraka pastimes of Krishna, Akrura told Shatadvana to murder Satrajit. Isn't that bad?
That's bad.
Wasn't that on a mundane platform?
No.
Okay. This question from Radha Vallabh Prabhu. As part of greed in Krishna consciousness, do we strive to move our attention to lordships and his associates' pastimes and accept all the other situations in our lives as lord's arrangements? Is that correct understanding?
Yeah. Greed is the advanced, like super triple fifth level advanced. For our level, it's yearning. Just a qualifier of that. But then the rest of his question is fine. Yeah. Next.
Okay, this question from Sucharita Mataji's daughter, 8-year-old daughter. It's not related to today's topic. Prashasta is her name. Wants to know, is there a specific time in the day when Brahma Samhita should be recited?
Well, any time is fine, and Brahma Muhurta is always ideal for any spiritual activity. But any time is fine. Okay. She has one more question and we're going to end after this.
If time permits.
Time permits, just one more.
Because I was trying to teach this topic to kids today.
Which one?
This about Purushottam month.
Okay.
So then I was studying online about all this. So then what I came to know was that this 1 month is extra because of they want to align the calendars with lunar and solar cycles. So then I was reading this story that this 1 month came extra and it was considered as inauspicious. Then Krishna said that. So should I, this story is appropriate? No.
No.
Okay. So more focus should be on this, that because of this lunar and solar.
Yes. Prabhupada ki jai.